You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
BFM 89.9, I'm Sharad Kutin, and this is The Breakfast Grill. With me this morning is His Excellency Petri Puhakka, Ambassador of Finland to Malaysia. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much for the invitation. It's a pleasure.
You know, I want to begin with the fact that Finland is a much smaller country than Malaysia. I think it's perhaps one-sixth the size of us. We're something under 6 million people, is it?
Well, like the area is about the same. Actually, like we are a bit bigger than Malaysia. We are about 338,000, whereas you are about 330,000, but our population is only about 5.5 million,
about 30 million for us. Finland has a GDP of some $267 billion compared to ours, which is about 303 billion. So we're almost comparable in terms of economies. Also, what is very notable about Finland is that it scores very high on a lot of social indices on education, free press, on gender equality, in the fight against corruption. So all these are quite extraordinary achievements for a small country. It's also the first European country to introduce universal suffrage, something in, I believe, it was 1906. But I believe also, and it needs to be said, that this rosy picture does hide some real important historical struggles. And I just want to mention a few things so Malaysians might not be so familiar with Finland. It was colonized by Sweden for about eight centuries, and then under Russian rule for a substantial amount of time. You had a bloody civil war in the early part of the 20th century, before, I think, with the Declaration of Independence in 1917. And also, during the Cold War, Finland gave us a word in the English language, Finlandization, which is also, the reason I'm mentioning all this is how do these historical struggles bear on the present, especially as tensions mount in the Baltic region with NATO and Russia kind of lining up against each other. I believe NATO's come out to say that they will defend the Baltic states, not including Finland, Baltic states being Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. Today for Finland, before we get into the economic story, just talking about the political and geopolitical story, where does Finland lie? Is it in an uncomfortable position as these geopolitical lines are being drawn yet again?
Well, I wouldn't call it really uncomfortable because, like, we have been in the we are militarily non-aligned, but we are as members of the European Union. So basically, like, we are in a group, and we are, of course, we have a very close cooperation with NATO. Without being a member, I would say that we are like we are as close as you can get without being a member. Of course, like what happened in say the annexation of Crimea was something that was really unfortunate because it worsened the relations overall. And of course, financially, then you had the sanctions in place, which are really hurting our economy.
Okay, so the annexation of Crimea, I believe, was justified by the Russians on the basis of history, right? Crimea apparently had been given to Ukraine during some point in Stalin's rule. And so Russia was, as it were, taking back the Crimea. And of course, you know, with the Baltic states, with Finland, also there is a deep relationship. I believe before Helsinki was the capital of Finland, there was Turku, which is more related to the Swedish side of the story, of the Finnish story. Helsinki kind of related to the Russian side of Finnish history. Does these complex histories of that region bear on today's politics? Does Finland have to be very careful as Putin asserts himself militarily, perhaps some might argue on his side, as NATO pushed up against what was, in fact, a series of buffer states between Western Europe and Russia? Where does Finland lie in this now increasingly intense struggle?
Well, we are there where we have always been. Like, we are there. Well, we have a big neighbor with whom we have had good relations. Of course, like, when you have neighbors, like close neighbors, sometimes you are agreeing and sometimes you are disagreeing. But we have always had the dialogue going on, which is main thing. I agree there. The tensions are now higher than they used to be, say, 10, 15 years ago. But they don't have really a bearing on the normal lives. it's basically like life goes on as normal. But of course, then people start maybe wondering what will happen. Because like as you mentioned, like if you're justifying something with the historical reasons, I would say that there are a lot of European countries would have some difficulties if that came to the play.
Okay, we'll come back to the one point you mentioned, which is the embargo. So Putin's actions have resulted in an embargo on Russia. It's affected the Russian economy, and that affects Finland's economy too, because it is quite tied to Russia. And we'll come back to the early 90s when, again, Finland's economy was affected by what was happening in Russia. I do want to come back to, at this point, I would just like to focus on the conversations that Finns are having about how they see the world. And in what regard is Finland different from the rest of Europe, as we now see there is a conversation throughout Europe? There's a populist pressure in politics that, you know, wants Europe to be pure ethnically. It's less committed to multiculturalism. It's less committed to being inclusive. It's less, in some concrete ways, open to refugees and non-natives. Mm. I believe perhaps non-natives in Finland amount about 5% of the population. We know in Finland there is the Finns Party, which is a populist or nationalist-oriented political party. 2015, the party got some 17.7% of the votes, making the parliament second largest party, and they're now part of the current coalition government. What is the conversation in party politics about where Finland should go in terms of all these issues?
Well, like you said, the populists got their biggest victory in the last parliamentary elections. But like we just got the results from the municipal elections, where the populist part, the true Finns, they got something like 8.8, which is back to the back where they were. So you mentioned some difficult issues as like refugees. The vision of wealth and how it's done in rural areas. So what about the services you are getting there? Those are issues that are, I understand well that people are worried about. But with this uncertainty and some worries, then you might have those kind of populist movements which are gaining power.
Yeah, so, you know, maybe not to draw too direct analogies with, say, the alt-right rise of the alt-right in the U.S. and Marine Le Pen, which is quite xenophobic in her rhetoric now, you know, standing for elections for the French presidency. I understand that there's a curious quality to the populism in, say, as expressed in the True Finn Party, now called the Finn Party, I believe, which is, it's sort of on the left, at least in terms of the welfare state. It's pro-welfare state, but it's also socially conservative. I believe they don't like postmodern art.
That was news to me.
and that's said to be by a friend of mine who actually works in Finland. So the issue is here, are the concerns of the True Finn Party, the Finn Party, something that is likely to express itself in public policy? And if so, how has it expressed itself in public policy?
Well, they have started the discussion, and they have started the discussion on difficult issues. We have had some economic difficulties in the recent years, and you don't have that same amount of wealth to be kind of like given to all areas. And when you're speaking about, say, what welfare services like health services, that's a very, very difficult issue at the moment, as we are about to change the system, how we are providing them. And that's one of the basic needs. And, of course, like if your closest place will be, say, in 20 kilometers is the distance, then you don't like it.
Right. So, okay, so this is part of the welfare state. This is part of the services that taxpayers buy into. They invest in through their own hard work. I wonder if, and I believe also that Finland has an aging population. So this, of course, will be a big issue for them. But coming back to Europe, is the True Finn Party one of those Eurosceptic parties? Is there a danger that there will be a discussion or the discussion about Europe and what burdens it places on Finland might lead to a desire to move out of the European Union?
let's say that before the Dutch elections, where the fears were much higher, but now when we have seen the results of the Dutch elections, so even though there are more and more people, there is a sizable amount of people who are Eurosceptics and like basically might be there on the radical right, it's still a relatively small amount. But whether it's growing or not, that's a good question, because that's something that everybody is keeping an eye on.
What is the government of the day's position on Brexit? Is it on the harsher side, the hawkish side of Europeans who want to see Britain punished for wanting to leave the union? Or is Finland, encouraging, but is it accepting of the decision of British voters to leave? And would they like to see a smooth transition and one that is amicable?
It's really a difficult issue. And, let's say that we want to have the unity of the European Union preserved within the 27. And, of course, then we'll have to come in the terms of the Brexit. But on the other hand, we are not, we have been quite close to the UK in trade policy terms. And we would like to see that trade going on for in the future. Of course, then you'll have to agree on a package. And, that's going to be very difficult and interesting 2 years ahead.
Is it always the fate of small states to have to make friends with everybody and try to be to compromise in terms of this? They can't really take a hard stance. Is that just the nature of the politics of small states?
Well, if you're neighboring a very big state, then you have to take the realities of life. But where you might be so, if you're just located in a comfortable place somewhere in the middle of Europe, I don't think that you're seeing any threats around you, so you might be able to take a tougher stance.
Okay, we're speaking to His Excellency Petri Puhakka, Ambassador of Finland. Next up, we look at the challenges to the Finnish economy and commitments to the welfare state. This is The Breakfast Grill on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, The Breakfast Grill continues. I'm Sharad Kutin, and with me is His Excellency Petri Puhakka, Ambassador of Finland. We were talking briefly earlier about the embargo on Russia and how it's affecting the economy. I want to come to that story, but for an earlier period, from around the early 90s. Mm-hmm. And in fact, for a long time, the persistence of a kind of recession in Finland was a source of quite some interest in terms of analysts, and I believe even Paul Krugman wrote something on it. He called it the Finnish disease. But he blames the problem of a recovery or the lack of recovery in Finland on what he calls the Euro straitjacket. Now, just to clue everybody in, what happened in the early 90s, often the causes are identified as the fall of Nokia, the fall of the paper industry, and the Russian embargo. I think it was, early part of that. What do Finns and different Finnish stakeholders understand about what happened in the early 90s and also the lack of recovery?
Well, in the early 90s, you saw the reception of Soviet Union, which for us, we had very sizable trade relations with Soviet Union. And once there is no state called Soviet Union, you have Russia and then you have the others. Of course, then you are in a very, very difficult situation, and then you'll have to try to find some new venues where you can you can trade with, because we are a small open economy, we are very dependent on exports, and Russia was at its height, I think it was about one third of the exports, which was really something. If you take that away quite suddenly, then you're in a difficult place, and of course when you had the overall recession, so it was those were tough times. But sometimes when you're in tough times, you need to make some quite drastic moves in order to improve your competitiveness. And once you have done it, then it's going to be easier.
Yeah, I guess nobody, not even the CIA, could anticipate the fall of the collapse of the Soviet Union. They didn't anticipate
it.
Nobody
did.
But the question of dependence, I mean, the dependence, as you put it, like 30% of exports going to Russia, has that been resolved? Is the Finnish economy, in terms of its exports, much more diversified today?
It is nowadays. Like, yes, our largest trading nations are Germany, Sweden, Netherlands, U.S. Well, Russia is again there, but not as high as it used to be. I don't think it will ever be that high. I wouldn't like to see it to be that high, because if you're so dependent on one actor and something happens, then you are facing hard times.
What about Paul Krugman's suggestion that the euro was to blame for the lack of recovery, that somehow because Finland had no control over monetary policy, it could not in fact deal with its specific problems? Is that a kind of analysis that resonates with stakeholders in Finland? Was it ever identified as one of the problems, that somehow the monetary union did not work in Finland's favor?
There are some who are blaming the eurozone, but then you're just speaking of some separate persons, not really even parties. Of course, when you're tied up in euro, you don't have kind of inflation and depreciation of the currency. But on the other hand, you have the stable currency, which is creating some predictability and sure. I would say that yes, euro can be blamed to a certain amount, but it can be as well said that it has helped us.
Okay. Only recently, I believe in January, the Finnish Central Bank declared that the country's long recession is finally receding. The Finnish Central Bank said, and I'm quoting here, an improving employment situation, low inflation will bolster real disposable household incomes. Exports will recover amid better competitiveness and higher external demand.
Mm-hmm.
It's been several months since that statement was made. Has it been panned out? Are critics and is the market rewarding Finland for this so-called recovery?
Well, these things don't happen that quickly. So the recovery is on its way, but of course the pace is not that fast. And then you have these big uncertainties like Brexit, and you have what the U.S. president will be doing in trade terms, and those are as well causing so much uncertainty that you can't be for sure that you're on a sustainable basis.
Now, the bank also pointed out that the aging population of Finland, we mentioned this earlier, mm-hmm. will continue to curb the country's growth. Finland's GDP growth for 2017 is forecast at 1.3%. How do you solve a problem like the aging population? I mean, do you have a pro-natalist policy encouraging younger people to have more children? Or do you, as many other countries do, they import their solution? They basically open their borders to targeted foreigners, for instance, people they think will help bolster their populations. How do you do that in Europe?
Well, I think that the latter alternative mentioned is something that we all will have to look at. It has been so far a bit, well, at least we have been a bit reluctant to kind of import labor. But nowadays, when you are facing the situation where you don't have enough manpower to maintain the society, then you'll have to look outside.
Is this, of course, it comes back to the cultural issues that we talked about. Finland, of course, is a society also divided between ethnic Swedes, if I could put it that way, and Finns. To have, again, people coming from different countries. We see just recently in Stockholm, the attacker was somebody from Uzbekistan, from Central Asia, who had sought to be a resident. These things complicating matters when you get populations who are eager to come and settle and work hard, but also carry with them all kinds of cultural assumptions and perhaps certain individuals who might complicate matters because they are also ripe for radicalization, perhaps.
There's always the danger, but then you would just have to kind of get them to adapt to Finnish society, to Finnish way of life, and like adapt to the local circumstances. That helps for the most. All, of course, there are always a couple of individuals who don't feel that they are belonging to something, and then you might get the problems. I agree, but I don't see any other options than open up and import something that you are in need of.
Yeah, maybe you could teach them how to walk like a Finn, which I believe resembles somebody walking with skis, which is quite curious to see if you have ever been to Helsinki. I do want to bring up this point about unemployment. Apparently, unemployment numbers and long-term unemployment numbers have increased dramatically. In 2010, rather, it was about 15%. Today, the number is something like 35%. I mean, what is the cause for this?
35%? No.
No, you don't. Okay, maybe the numbers are not correct.
That would be really drastic. You might have some regions like where the recession has struck the most, where you have those kind of numbers, but on an average now.
So moving on, what are the particular economic challenges for Finland in the coming years? I believe that, according to some analysis, the decades, post-war decades, that built the strong welfare state and the affluence that Finland had was based on a tripartite negotiation between strong trade unions, businesses, and government. Is that there today? Have the unions been and their strength been eroded over the last couple of decades? What could be the foundation for a resurgence in the Finnish economy?
That's a very good point that you're mentioning, because that's something that has been discussed now for the past 2-3 years, because like the tripartite, the type of negotiations was something that we had, like it was really deep in the traditions and practices. Now it has been questioned whether that model is functioning any longer. If you are asking from the trade union side, you know what price you will be getting. But like that is something that we will really need to look at very carefully.
Now, your current prime minister is a businessman, Juha Petri Sipilä, I believe.
Exactly,
is that
yes.
how it says it?
Yes.
He made millions. In fact, some reports call him a billionaire. And he sold his mobile network components company, Solitra Oy, to an American concern and made a lot of money there. Some say that he's had a hard time selling what they call an austerity program to the Finnish voter. Other critics talk about him as putting a butcher in charge of a vegan shop, the vegan shop being, of course, the welfare state. What is the situation with current government policies in terms of business and economics?
Well, we didn't really have to put in place so harsh austerity measures, but still, well, what the government was trying to do was to improve the competitiveness of Finnish companies. Like there were negotiations to prolong the working hours, some other issues, in order to just improve the competitiveness of Finnish companies, because that was it was said to be much much lower than say for what the Swedes or the Germans had.
But didn't you also have to cut back on your defense spending? Well, I read reports that, monies given to refugees had to be cut down as well because of these budgetary constraints. Were there other kind of negative effects from the budget constraints that you had for those couple of years?
Well, of course, we were forced to cut some spending, but I can't recall that it would have been taken that much from the defense side. Like we have always had a credible defense, and that's something that we will keep a really close eye on. But then when it comes to other social services, then you would need to start looking at whether there's something that could still be kind of taken away.
Okay. We just have a little more time and maybe to talk about the Finnish-Malaysian connection. According to Finnish custom statistics, the total export value of Finnish goods to Malaysia amounts to some 226 million euros. That was in 2013, which were mostly paper and paperboard, iron, steel, as well as electric machinery and parts. Do you see a changing trade portrait between Malaysia and Finland going forward?
At the moment, not that much, but like, well, I think that it will be more on the high tech side or clean tech side, because like, well, paper, well, it depends how much paper you will be using. Metal, of course, that is something that goes all the time.
You can see I'm holding lots of paper, so maybe I'm going to keep that business going. Very quickly, are there opportunities for Malaysian businesses in Finland?
For sure.
And what would they be in?
Well, let's go there and look at the possibilities. Like we have a very well educated workforce, like on very good level of education. If you're planning to do something which is really of high value, then you might want to take a look at the Finnish market.
Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
That was His Excellency Petri Puhakka, Ambassador of Finland to Malaysia. I'm Sharad Kutin, and you're listening to The Breakfast Grill on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.